Greetings and peace in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and welcome to Sound Doctrine, a radio ministry committed to preaching, teaching, and reaching. We'll continue our study on sound doctrine today. As we continue to look at 2 Timothy, we are finishing up the third chapter, although this has not been an exhaustive study in Paul's letter to Timothy. We are highlighting sound doctrine in the context in which that is being presented in the scriptures. I'm going to somewhat review what we had looked at before, but really we're going to place emphasis on verses 16 and 17 today. I'm going to read from 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse 14 through 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5. And I'll be reading from the King James translation. And it reads again, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." So again, we're looking at the context in which sound doctrine is presented here in Paul's letter to Timothy. We already touched upon verse 15 in chapter 3, where Paul had communicated to Timothy that he has known the scriptures. That is, Timothy, from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, is what Paul communicates, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And then just sort of by way of review here, I just want to reemphasize what Paul communicated, and that is from the time that Timothy was a young child or a babe, he has known the scriptures, and it is certainly highlighted in terms of the description of the scriptures. They are holy, and if they are holy, then that only comes from God, because God alone is holy. And so to partake of anything related to God or to refer to anything else as being holy, it must be understood in relation to God. So the scriptures are understood in relation to God, and we're going to talk a little more about that. But the point here is that this is what Paul is referring to in relation to Timothy's knowledge or understanding. His knowledge is directly related to the Holy Scriptures, that is, the Word of God, what's been communicated from God by God. And when he speaks of the Scriptures being able to make Timothy wise unto salvation, that is the aim, or that is the result. So when we look at scriptures and we understand how Paul is communicating Timothy's relationship with the scriptures, that is his knowledge of the scriptures from childhood or from being a babe or a young child, he understands that the aim and the purpose is salvation. And this salvation is not communicated in accumulating a lot of knowledge of the scriptures alone. you may remember that Paul mentions, and I think it's what he mentions to the church at Corinth, knowledge puffs up. And oftentimes we look at scripture, and this term is certainly used often when we talk about scholars, biblical scholars and whatnot. And I'm sure it may have some application, you know, in terms of how it's used. It may have accurate application, but not in a truest sense. You know, how can you totally figure out everything that God has communicated in as much as we try to understand it in his word? And especially just for the sake of knowledge, just for the sake of knowing, and sometimes for some people, the end or the aim in knowing the scripture is knowledge itself. It's just knowing the scripture. And that's not the purpose. The purpose is for us, through the Holy Scriptures and through knowledge of the Holy Scriptures, to have wisdom, to have this understanding from God in relation to God's word that leads to salvation, that is deliverance, that is God rescuing us from ourselves, which is to say our sins. So how does that come about? Here we go again. Through, right, is by the knowledge of the scriptures, the wisdom that comes in knowing the scriptures, the salvation that is provided in the scriptures through Christ Jesus. So this is what we talk about, through faith in Christ Jesus more specifically. And that's what we have to understand as far as this knowledge of the Holy Scriptures go. That is, the aim and the purpose of the scriptures is to take us to Christ Jesus. And I'm going to speak a little more to this when we get to the charge from Paul to Timothy to preach the word. But, you know, while we're here, let's make sure that we also have an understanding that to use the scripture in any other way, or to take what is you know, understood to be a knowledge of the scriptures, and then to manipulate it for any other end, any other aim than Jesus Christ or Christ Jesus, as Paul communicates more specifically, you know, that is corrupt in the scripture, which leads to the very concern that Paul had in leaving, you know, in the purpose for which he left Timothy at Ephesus. And that is that he tell and not allow anyone to teach any other doctrine. And that is within the context of or the community of God's people, which is the church, or who are the church. So when we consider again, you know, why is it that we use the scriptures? Why is it that we seek to understand the scriptures? What is the aim of knowing the scriptures? And that is to have wisdom unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And anybody who manipulates the scripture or utilizes the scripture for any other means or any other end is corrupting the scripture. And that's what we call unsound doctrine or corrupt doctrine, false teaching, instruction that is off course as far as God's purpose for the Holy Scriptures. So think about that, and I hope that you understand the point that we're communicating here. So Paul starts with this, or that's where we pick up in Paul's communication with Timothy. And he continues on after he communicates to Timothy about how Timothy has known the scripture from the time of his childhood. And Paul then highlights the scripture itself. He says in verse 16 that all scripture, and I say again, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. So we start out with the first portion of this statement, which highlights the authority of scripture and how scripture is communicated. It is communicated from God, by God, and according to the inspiration provided by God. And we'll talk a little more about that. And then he highlights the prophet of Scripture, and that is prophet, P-R-O-F-I-T. So it highlights the usefulness of Scripture, or the gain or profit and helpful, the helpfulness or the advantage of Scripture. What does Scripture, how does Scripture benefit us? What is the gain in Scripture? So this is what Paul highlights in the first portion here, in speaking of how the Scripture is given, or more specifically, from whom the Scripture is given, by whom the Scripture is given, and then highlighting the usefulness or the benefit, the advantage or profit of Scripture. And he speaks specifically to doctrine. He speaks to reproof. He speaks to correction, and he speaks to instruction, and specifically, or more specifically, instruction in righteousness. So, you know, let's sort of consider a little more what Paul is saying here. And when he speaks of all, this is where, you know, sort of what the great deficiency is, especially in young adults in our time, and including and especially within the church and within church families, that is the households that comprise the church. And that is all Scripture. What's happening now is folks who profess, or who at one time profess belief in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and belief in God, and belief in his word, are now becoming selective about the Scripture. So now, instead of saying or believing that all Scripture is given by God, now people are becoming very selective about which portions of Scripture they are willing to receive. So this is not just a matter of God giving the Scripture. It is also a matter of the authority that comes with the Scripture, or the authority of the Scripture. So in other words, who is the person who we are answerable to with regard to our response to God's word? And so there you have it. The answer is in the question, God's word. Therefore, since Scripture is given by God, it is breathed by God, then it carries not just God's breath, and that is, it is actually God's word communicated through God, and he gives it to man and inspires man to write what God communicates through his spirit. It is also under God's authority. So people often say, and again, this is sort of the response of many young people and young adults within the church and within the households that comprise the church, and that is they say it's just a man-made book. It's something that is only communicated by men, and therefore I can take it or I can leave it. I can modify what I don't like. I can come to my own conclusions. I can be the master of the Scriptures and determine, you know, what is acceptable and what is unacceptable. And of course, the obvious problem with that is now you are placing yourself in a position above God. And God doesn't give us his word to scrutinize and determine whether or not we approve of what he has communicated. You know, it is a response in terms of approving it, but it's not approval that says, here, God, we're going to give this back to you, and you need to make some revisions. What we're doing, in essence, is taking our human red pen, you know, that's used for corrections, And when God breathes his word and has communicated his word to us under his authority and according to his purpose and according to his power and his aim, the end that God intends in his word, by his word, through his word, then we respond by saying, well, no, you may want to take this back and modify this because we don't approve of this. And it's very, very unfortunate that we don't see the problem with that. So to take God's word and to push back and say that we do not approve of it, and then to make it, to confine it, or to then come to this conclusion that God hasn't breathed this word, he hasn't communicated this word, it's not under his inspiration, then that's an offense to God. So that is going from bad sin to worse sin, if you can understand what I'm saying. All scripture, that means all, every, the whole of scripture is given by God. And if you don't receive it as such, you're not going to have so much a problem with man. You're going to have a problem with God, because there's no higher authority who you can petition or appeal to, you know, to take this issue that you have with God's word, the scripture, and insist that it be modified. You know, where you appeal to somebody and say, he needs to change this because I don't like it. I don't receive it. I don't approve of it. Who are you going to take that to? You know, who has authority over God? And are you so bold so as to reject God's word and to come to your own conclusion and insist that you are wiser than God, and therefore you have more authority than God? So you are therefore empowered or authorized to change his word and to reject his word. That's most unfortunate, and certainly it leads to destruction. But here we have it. All scripture is given by God's inspiration. God breathed. And then it is profitable. It is advantageous and helpful. The gain of scripture is one, doctrine. That is instruction. Very important to understand that. What is the purposes of scripture? It is to give us instruction, to provide us with the information that teaches us, that guides us, that helps us to learn. That's what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. It means to be a learner or a pupil of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the teacher, and the teaching is communicated through his word. We don't have the visual now in terms of Christ visually or physically, shall I say, walking with us, because the visual now is how Jesus is manifested through his church in the lives of his people. He lives within us, and therefore we are the example or the demonstration of God in Christ, and therefore Christ in us. And Christ being the Son of God, God revealed in the flesh, therefore God in us. So it is this revelation of Christ through those who profit from the teaching of his word, the prophet, P-R-O-F-I-T, of the scriptures, which is to say, again, we are following what God has communicated in his word, and he is instructing us to follow his word. And that's what scripture is beneficial for. It is for instruction. So if you don't go, if your intent in relation to scripture is not to learn, then you're already off course. God is communicating to us. The purpose is not for us to fire back something, as far as a rebuttal to God, and have this dialogue where we are contesting what God communicates. Now, what that also does not mean is it doesn't mean that you can't have questions or some degree of uncertainty based on a lack of understanding or a lack of knowledge. And dare I say, in some cases, I would say in many cases, poor teaching or instruction that is not actually in line with the Word of God. That doesn't mean that those experiences don't make things foggy, because they certainly do. But what we have to recognize is the purpose of the Scripture, the holy writings, this document from God, breathed out by God, is for us to have instruction, for us to learn, for us to be taught. And the reason why we're so off course in so many ways and so uncertain and unstable, and Paul communicates this in his letter to the saints at Ephesus, when he speaks of, hey, the reason that God gave you apostles and pastors and teachers and evangelists is so that you're not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. And you know, that's what instruction and learning is for. You will find that oftentimes people who are off course and go astray in their faith, one, either never sat under teaching that they received. That is, they didn't make a commitment to spiritual growth and discipleship. And again, that is a great, to me, that is the greatest deficiency in the church today. That is a lack of commitment to discipleship. That is a lack of commitment to learning and growing according to God's word. I'm not talking about tea parties and you know, all the busyness that we like to engage in. I'm talking about sitting down and actually being instructed. And then I'm not speaking of chasing rabbits for, 59 minutes of a 1 hour Bible study. And then for 1 minute, sharing scripture and then praying and going home. That's not teaching and that's not instruction. And then we're also not speaking, when we talk about learning and instruction, you know, we're not talking about you bringing your pet subject every time and everything going off course for the entire time or focusing on things that don't edify. The purpose of learning is to grow and to be edified so that we can function according to that which we learn, so that we can understand, absorb and live out and apply. That's the word that I'm looking for, what we've learned. So that's the first thing. And you say, man, we took a long time talking about doctrine. Well, yeah, that's what this is about. It's about instruction. And that's probably where we are most deficient in relation to the church and our lack of spiritual growth and maturity. So he talks of doctrine, and this is in relation to the scripture, profitable for doctrine, that's instruction, and for reproof. Uh-oh. So we have a problem here, because we like for so much to be comfortable. We don't like to be disturbed, you know, when it comes to the scripture and learning and and growing in our faith in relation to what God communicates in his word. So many people then take what is supposed to be reproof, and we throw this blanket statement that corrupts the word of God. We throw the blanket statement over the word of God, and we say God is love. That's like this blanket statement. We take love and we misapply it. We falsely advertise it. We communicate it, and we corrupt love when we try to apply it to God out of context. That is, that for which love does not represent or stand for coming from God. So we recognize, we try to recognize God's love or misinterpret God's love apart from his word. And that's where we go astray. So in other words, we try to communicate the love of God as a license for anything we want, but we don't actually see specifically what God says in his word about the very thing that we're misapplying his love to. So in other words, this license to sin or to live any way that we desire to live. And in any way, however that is manifested, it is sinful. And so we take that and we just say, well, God is love. You know, God loves everybody and everything is okay and it is what it is and all of those foolish, worthless, empty sayings. And we speak emotionally, but we don't speak in relation to God's word and what his word actually communicates. And that's where we are to get conviction from. That's what reproof is. It is conviction. It is refuting error. Hey, that's wrong. We know that there's not a license. The word of God, God himself then, doesn't give you license to do this. As a matter of fact, how you're living or what you're doing is contrary to God and his word. And if it's contrary to God's word, it's contrary to God because all scripture is given by God. It's breathed by God. So when we consider that it's not only for instruction, and then these go hand in hand. So it's not either or, it's both and a continuation of what is communicated here when we talk about the profit of doctrine or the advantage and the benefit of instruction. So when we look at conviction, we don't particularly care for this because we don't want to be offended. And if you want to be offended by anything, you want to be offended by God's word, because the other side of that is we or you have offended God. So conviction comes about as a result or a response to an act, an action, you know, whatever we've done to offend God. Conviction then reproves us. It refutes what we're insisting is right. In actuality, what we're saying is right is actually an offense to God. And that's what conviction is. It's for our good. Reproof is not intended to condemn you. It's actually to save you from that condemnation. And that's why we need conviction, and not conviction in a shallow, twisted, perverted sense. That is, some people just like to be beat up. They just like to feel like every time the word is preached or taught, then they're getting beat up. And people say, you know, you really stepped on my toes today. And I tell them, well, I missed the target because I'm not aiming for your toes. I'm aiming for your heart. And that's what God's word takes target to. It's aiming at your heart. It's aiming at the place where you need to be transformed, the root of the matter. And so that conviction is to refute what it is that you're doing that's contrary to God. And then we look at correction. So this is a little different. The reproof is a little stronger because there just seems to be this determination and insistence where you need to be refuted. You know, there needs to be this conviction for what is wrong. Correction, on the other hand, is straightening someone up, you know, and this you know, the waywardness may not be intentional, but it needs to be corrected nonetheless. So we're going to stop here. And, I hope you recognize the benefit of scripture and the reality that all scripture is given by God and it's beneficial and advantageous, and it profits us in these ways that I've mentioned: instruction and conviction. And we'll talk a little more about correction in the rest of this passage of scripture when we meet again, Lord willing. Until then, remember that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. God bless you.